This is London Calling.
This is Fulton Leaders, the global podcast. Now, if I were to introduce this week's guest as a Mexican-born black metal musician, complete with horrific white grease-painted face and grinding music, said to be associated with Satanism and death, would you even consider this as a credible leadership episode? I mean, would you even listen? So, instead, I'm going to introduce exactly the same man, but focus on a very different aspect of his life. As you're about to hear, in following assumptions, too often we deny both others and ourselves a far richer view of life. Worst of all, reckless suppositions can lead to tragic conclusions. Hello, 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 and welcome again to Fulton Leaders, the global podcast in which I scour this wonderful, beautiful, elegant planet of ours to find the most controversial, the most intriguing, the most inspiring thought leaders from all walks of life. We have with us a eminent filmmaker, an illustrious musician, Mr. Pablo Vergara. Hello, Pablo.
Hello, Jonathan. Hello to all the audience out there. Thank you very much for tuning in, and I hope I can give you a good episode.
The way that I came across you was through watching a quite remarkable program that went out around the world on Netflix. Before I get into any of that, Pablo, tell us a little bit about your family upbringing.
I come from a broken home, and, you know, so the upbringing was a bit chaotic and difficult. But, you know, I have a good relationship with my parents and my siblings.
Our past kind of shapes our present, which then goes on to shape our future.
Yeah, definitely. Your past can sometimes shape your future, for sure. The choices you take into certain situations in the future. Yeah, lucky for me, I always have music, and music kept me sane and focused. I have many bands, so it was an integral part for me, for sure.
Now, the music, as you said, it kept you sane, it kept you focused.
I'm part of the black metal culture and done everything under the sun, film and music, albums, artwork.
When people look at black metal artists, they do get a bit, well, I suppose concern. There's the makeup, which is the heavy white grease paint. The songs are, they're played in such a way that it's not that easy on the ear.
Yeah, that would be black metal for sure.
But the thing is with black metal, it's steeped in controversy. Some people say that it alludes to satanic stuff. Is that true or what?
I guess the original fundaments were trying to bring back the ancient pagan religion. And by that, you know, some black metal kids, they actually went on and actually burned churches, especially in Scandinavia back in the 90s.
Do you advocate that sort of thing?
I never take part in that. I don't think it's cool.
A lot of black metal bands go out of their way not to over-publicize and to keep the whole thing underground, so keeping the street credibility.
It's kind of like a elite club, maybe.
A lot of stuff that black metal deals with is to do with depression, stories about death, pretty grim stuff.
What makes you like horror movies rather than dramas or comedies is just, I guess, something that resonates in their souls. And it has some dark topics, indeed. But there's other bands that, you know, talk about nature, too, you know, and just philosophical stuff.
there are many sides to all of us. The soft side, the hard side, the depressed side, joyful side. And black metal, it's speaking to a darker side of themselves.
A lot of people that listen to black metal might be into nihilism, dark shadow self aspect of psychology of the self, and something that appeals to the audience or the artists that work into this genre, for sure.
I think it was Jung who spoke about the shadow, which is like this dark side of ourselves. He said the shadow is the unknown dark side of everybody's personality. It's instinctive, it's irrational. And I guess with dark metal, what you're doing is you're saying you're acknowledging it.
Like you said, Carl Jung said, it's like every single human being has it. Some people embrace it. Some people play with the idea of it. They say if you can control your shadow self, then your shadow self cannot control you. And that's the difference between you being able to do art with it or you becoming someone dangerous, like a serial killer. Those are people that are controlled by their dark selves.
What do you think about people who would say that if someone is already depressed or anxious or worse, then they follow dark metal, which kind of in a way celebrates all this stuff? They would argue that it heightens their sense of desperation and it can lead people. I mean, you said about burning churches.
Music can lift you up or bring you down. When you combine the troubled souls with some free music like black metal, it could be maybe, I wouldn't want to pass judgment, but maybe it could be a dangerous combination. And I know that there's been some kids that they committed crimes because they were probably very merged into this music style.
Yeah, but does that make you feel responsible?
To my defense, none of my lyrics profess anything violent, anything diabolical, or it will be like telling a horror story.
Okay, so take us back to around 2013, 2012. You were under the pseudonym of Morbid. You put up some stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, I was going with the whole Morbid alter ego character, most of my art, photographs, video, music, and yeah, I had a following, I had a fan base, and but some people picked up the wrong message or tried to.
What was so controversial?
The video was kind of like a short story of a girl that was being chased down by someone. She's in distress, she's running, and then she appears like dead in the forest. We didn't show in the video how she died. When you consider the kind of genre we're doing, it's pretty normal. Like, they have a lot of music videos like these in metal.
But so you were doing it, so as I understand it from what you're saying, that you were putting out these videos because that was the basic thing that black metal artists would put out at that time. And so you were following that kind of lead.
I'm sure I was influenced by my surroundings, by the type of music I was listening to. And I was going through some very dark times myself, so I tried to put it in the video.
Going back to childhood and the times that you were going through at that point in your life, do you think that that was what brought you to black metal?
I started playing rock and roll and grunge, and as I got better and better on the guitar, I just needed a challenge. And then I started playing more thrash metal, faster heavy metal, and it just led me, like, as I become better or better on guitar, it just led me to the most extreme side of music, which is death metal and black metal, and very technical, very difficult to play. And it was just challenging for me. And that was actually the main cause of me composing this type of music in this genre. The feeling of the music, it has some melancholy sometimes. And that lured me in a bit as well.
Listen, I'm much older than you. I was growing up in the times of punk rock. Yeah. With Sid Vicious.
I remember.
Yeah. And Johnny Rotten and all those people. I am an antichrist.
Bye.
when people looked at punk rockers back then, you know, they thought they looked different, they sounded different, and people didn't get it. But of course, the lyrics that they were singing about were stuff that kids at that stage were concerned with. These types of music are genres where people can feel that someone gets them where other people don't get them. If someone is different or doesn't fit in, it seems to be that the divide has got wider. What do you think?
If I'm not sure how the world is going to be after this, it's such strange times.
Let's go back now to 2012 era. So you put up these videos, as I said, you're in Mexico, and at some point you decide to go and take a break in Los Angeles, and you find yourself in a very notorious district of Los Angeles, Skid Row. And so you check yourself into the Cecil Hotel, and you stay there for a couple of days. Why did you choose the Cecil Hotel?
Just a practical thing at the time. I just like Googled the cheapest hotel in downtown, and a few options popped up, and this one looked cool. And I had no clue about the reputation of the hotel. I mean, if only I knew, me like studying dark literature, and I knew about the Black Dahlia and all these people that stay there, if only I knew, I think I will have documented my stay there with the camera, you know, walking around. And
from an art point of view. Yeah, I get that. You just spoke about the Black Dahlia. Now, for people who don't know about this hotel, it's had the name given to it as the Hotel of Death, no less. It opened in 1927. The actual first documented death at the hotel was in the same year that it opened. There's been around 16 deaths in that hotel, everything from people ingesting poison to falling off the building to even in 1964, an awful, awful case, murder by stabbing and rape. This is like no regular hotel. What do you do for those two or three days that you're there?
Yeah, it was kind of like a pit stop for me, because after that I stayed with my friends for many weeks in the house.
Okay, and now in the hotel, did you make any video?
I released a few videos, just me talking to my friends saying that, hey, I'm here in LA now, like, you know, let's get together.
In the videos, you were under the guise of Morbid, the character in your group.
Well, my nickname has always been in the artistic world as Morbid, so I uploaded a video in my YouTube that said Morbid at the Cecil Hotel. That simple video changed my life.
My God, it did, because we're about to find out what happens next. So you're there, and you're in your full goth outfit with the hoodie on. You make these videos. Eventually, you leave the Cecil Hotel, and you go on your own way, and you think that's the end of that then. But of course, it isn't, because coincidentally, a year later, there is another death at the Cecil Hotel. This time, it involves a young lady. No one could quite figure out what happened to her because she disappeared. There was footage of her in an elevator. She was acting in a very strange way, as if she was scared of someone, but you couldn't see who this person was. The police released the video, and that started off an entirely different series of events. Internet sleuths got involved on what happened to this poor girl. And then they found your video, the one that you made at the hotel. And what happens next?
Pure insanity. Sometimes I'd say it might be a curse from the hotel. Yeah.
They alleged that this girl, who was eventually found dead, was murdered by you.
People called the web sleuth. They thought that I was the killer because they found my video of me staying in the hotel. It was easy for them to just point their finger and say, all right, this dude looks mysterious. This, you know, he did it. And actually, what I don't understand is how every single web sleuth there completely missed out the fact that my video was dated 1 year before.
I know. They're not much of a detective.
Yeah.
But it does say a lot about where we are at the moment in the world in terms of the internet, that people, they look at people by how they appear or how they sound, or in your case, appear, sound, and even the music of these people.
Yeah, the full package.
Yeah, and they draw conclusions and they say, well, he doesn't look right, he doesn't sound right, his music is not the type of music that most people would listen to. He must have killed her.
Yeah, that's correct. They infiltrated my accounts, my Facebook account and my YouTube, and they started stealing videos and pictures of me and started creating these conspiracy theories. But what's more shocking is that somehow the TV news station in Taiwan, they picked up the note and they released a video in their channel of me, and they are calling me the suspected killers.
So you got these internet sleuths who go into your YouTube and various other social media accounts. They find these videos, your artistic stuff. It then got leaked into Taiwanese TV station, and they then start putting out that you are a murderer, and you weren't even there at the time.
That is correct. I'm still trying to understand how this Taiwanese channel, who sent them this information, why did they put it out?
Can you see it, Pablo, from the point of view that you describe one of these videos was a young girl who is dead, and then you've got the coincidence of this actual poor victim? In your video, you've got you there with the dark metal music. Can you see how they could have put one and one and come up with five?
Ted Bundy used to listen to the Beatles, and he was a serial killer. I listen to black metal. I don't kill people.
That's such a good point, Ted Bundy. And then, of course, there was Charles Manson, who used to listen to Helter Skelter, which was by the Beatles, and which was, in all intents and purposes, an innocent song. But he read into that something which is, well, it's just nuts, quite frankly. And based on that, he killed people. Whereas you are a dark metal artist, but you don't actually advocate killing anyone at any point. If people want to read something into something, that's what they kind of do, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, anyone can read anything into anything. I mean, I've seen it in my own art, because people, they saw a picture of me and then, you know, they read something on it and then suddenly I'm a killer. Or it's just, you can't control what people think, but like, it's just like, it's like they call it the disinformation age, you know, just like it starts with one person, one rumor, and it can like really affect the life of someone in a major scale.
Yeah, and in your case, it certainly did affect your life. This drove you to severe anxiety and depression, to such a point that you decided to check into a mental health institution. You were going to kill yourself.
You know, first it started the rumors and the harassment and the trolling and death threats and hate mail and everything. And then it followed with like me losing all my accounts because they flagged them, and I got everything terminated. My YouTube channel terminated, my Gmail terminated. My Facebook, I think it was just deactivated for a long time. And so, you know, my business was connected to my accounts, because that's how I sold my merchandise, my music.
Yeah.
So I lost my business too. And after that, I just kind of, everything went down the drain. Like, I started losing my mind. You cannot make sense of any of these things. I did try to commit suicide at some point, because I didn't saw any way out of this. After that, I woke up in the psychiatric hospital.
What people have to understand is that this man was relentlessly pursued. And to get onto a national TV company, falsely accusing you of something, and you've got these internet sleuths relentlessly pursuing you, can you imagine what that would do to your sense of who you are, what you are, and what people think you are?
Thank you, Jonathan. I kind of understand how dangerous this is, this whole internet harassment and cyberbullying thing, you know. The world needs to address more, you know, like digital global pandemic. That's how we started calling it.
It is a global pandemic. Organizations such as Twitter, Facebook, and many others argue that if people report cyberbullying in any way, they will clamp down on it. I mean, do you think they're actually following through with their promises?
I'm getting contacted by a lot of kids that are getting cyberbullied, and, you know, I'm acting kind of like a guide to them in a way. And I've seen some changes. I've seen some of these applications like Instagram, Twitter, they are trying to stop the cyberbullying. And it's great. I think it might slow down the whole cyberbullying thing, which is something people have not addressed as much as needed because, you know, no one understands how dangerous this is. I mean, there's people that are killing themselves because of this. And, you know, it starts with one bad word or a rumor, and it just can, you know, like I said before, just can it can ruin someone's life.
Increasingly, kids are brought up in a world which is virtual. So they don't get to see things, touch things, speak to people in person as they used to. And so they're getting their cues about what the world is about and what their role is in the world through the screen, through the internet. Do you think, therefore, that kids are more susceptible to being influenced and coming up with wrong conclusions about themselves and about others?
I think more than 53% of the kids get cyberbullied, and it all starts with the internet, with their smartphones. I mean, even in video gaming. Yeah, it's something that it's affecting the youth, and there's definitely things they should do about it. Like, they should talk to their parents, their teachers. I think maybe the school should like implement ways to talk to the students about the importance of cyberbullying and ways to make it ease down a bit, you know.
Your art is about black metal music, which is about goth, and it's about, generally speaking, extreme topics to do with death, to do with suicide, to do with all these sorts of things. So doesn't this give you an issue? You're one of the people who's putting this stuff out there.
You know, everyone is supposed to have freedom of expression. And, you know, especially when you're an artist, you get crucified by what you do when you do this type of music.
So what's more important, the art and freedom of expression, or worrying about what your music and films can do to people? Yeah, how do you balance it?
It's been very challenging, bro. The way I always answer this question, even when I ask it to myself, I see what Stephen King has been doing. Like, just he's one of my main influences when I write screenplays. It's like the master of horror, but he's also written masterpieces, dramas like The Shawshank Redemption or Green Mile. I mean, you know, it's just kind of, that's what we do. We just do horror stuff, and that's it.
When I was growing up as a kid, I was an absolute horror fanatic. I could go back to the roots of horror in terms of movies, back to Nosferatu. It didn't mean I became a vampire. I loved Dracula in the 1930s version and so on and so forth.
Listen to them. Children of the night. What music they make.
What sweet music they make, as he said. But it didn't mean that I wanted to go out immediately and become a vampire.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, it's just form of art. It's just, I guess, my own expression. Definitely doesn't give other people that may not understand what you do the right to judge you and call you a killer or, you know, try to destroy your life.
A lot of people say, unless you're following things by the tried and tested way, you are a misfit. People don't like people because they're black, because they are from China, because they're from the UK or whatever it might be. They're too old, they're too young. Well, you know, we're all misfits, I guess, aren't we, Pablo?
We're all unique, beautiful beings.
That's absolutely right. You decided after this tragic incident that you had to check into a mental health institution, you decided maybe you need to take your career in a different direction. You developed filmmaking skills. I've watched Necromurder. It's won several awards. It talks to people who are not heard, people who are going through stuff with, you know, difficult marriages, difficult upbringings, being ripped off by companies, all sorts of things. And it talks to all of that, doesn't it?
Yeah. First of all, thank you for the great comment for the film. It's something me and my team, we've been working for a long time. We're very proud of the end result. We have shot 60 more minutes, so we turned this short film into a feature film.
Brilliant.
It's even more incredible. It's just over the top.
Great.
I think it just encapsulates like life. In my case, the film, the protagonist is this young rock star. She's going through a lot of crap, just things that youngsters might go through, you know, like you said, ripped off from a job, problems with the ex-wife, existential problems, all kinds of stuff. When I wrote the script, I tried to put like as much of life in there.
We got a load of movies that are produced in Hollywood, which go down the same familiar track. And sometimes people want something that's going to go beyond that. A lot of people will not get this, but it's not meant for them. You can't make a film for everybody, can you? You can't make music for everybody.
Yeah, that's true. But what's even more interesting about this film is that it's inspired on a real event. Strange and shocking as it might be, this actually happened in reality.
Wow.
Yeah, we've won a couple of awards, and we're sure when we're done with the final cut of the feature film, we hope we can get more awards.
Is Morbid Black Star reinventing himself?
I use that character in my own film, but it's also kind of who I am as a musician. It's kind of that conundrum. I'm talking to people, producers, studios. Thanks to the crime scene, I was able to somehow salvage some of my fan base. They have been actually demanding more music. They tell me, don't let what happened to you destroy you. You know, we want more music. We want to hear more from you. It's been amazing support. And I'm back in the studio recording new tracks.
Pablo's stroke Morbid sent me a new song. Here's some of the lyrics. It says, "Your burning soul shone in the black, a spark of passion, the sign of life. Your angel eyes have lifted me to the stars. They struck my soul and pierced the dark. Come with me, come into the night. Baby, don't you know it's me who's knocking at your door? Your angel eyes have lifted me to the stars. They stroke my soul and pierce the dark. I close my eyes just to see you here. The sky's on fire, and I need you here with me. Your angel eyes have lifted me to the stars. They stroke my soul and pierce the dark." People, this is black metal. Wow, what's going on?
I do black metal, but I also make other type of music as well. A softer side of me. I hope I don't get my black metal cred lowered by saying this.
We don't want to upset the fans out there, but I don't think they will be upset. I mean, I'm going to be playing out with your song in this podcast. They'll see that you're still singing it very much in the traditional style of black metal. You're not compromising in any way whatsoever. There are so many sides to us. All these sides, all these multifaceted sides, whether the dark side, the light side, the in-between side, it kind of what makes us human.
Yeah, like you said, we have different faces, different sides. This song is definitely one of the craziest tracks. I was very nervous in the studio, to be honest.
How can people get hold of you or check out your amazing work?
www.morbid1.com. And then in there, you can find my music, my films, and some of the anti-cyberbullying campaigns. Yeah, pretty much everything is there in morbid1.com. And if you join my mailing list, you can get free music, you know, and all the latest news. And there's a forum, you know, more interactive and trying to build a community somehow for people that are being cyberbullied out there. You can reach out to me directly through there. I'll see how I can help you.
So that's morbid1.com. And it's got the links and all the rest of it to cyberbullying. It is an issue. It is a very serious issue. This man has experienced cyberbullying of the absolute worst type, which is of people making assumptions about others. And sometimes to understand other people, we need to have the guts to look into ourselves a bit more deeply, and then maybe this world can be a bit of a better kind of place.
Absolutely. I couldn't have put it in any better word. Yeah, I mean, I think we just need to be more respectful to each other, especially online, because it's so easy to just do the wrong text, post the wrong message, and that's all it takes. I've done it. I think everyone is a bit guilty of that. It's just something that we really need to look after, you know, and just be nicer to each other, you know, and we're all going through some kind of difficult times, and especially now.
Yeah, yeah. Brilliant. Well, look, thank you, Pablo. Thank you, Morbid. Thank you for taking the time. I know you're in New York at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, we're in New York, but I've never seen this city as mellow and as low as now.
Really? Well, thank you from London. We're reaching out to you with a lot of love and a lot of good wishes for a healthy, successful, dark metal career for yourself.
Well, thank you very much, Jonathan. I love the interview. I'd love to come back someday, maybe an update with everything.
Thank you very much. Now, until next time then, be careful what you think when it comes to making assumptions about people, whether it's online or in person. Just let's be good to each other. Till next time, let's play out with the amazing Morbid. Of passion, the sign of life. Your angel lies have led me to the stars. They struck my soul and pierced it.
Thought and Leaders is a Goodbye production. It is heard around the world, but we can't continue broadcasting without your support. If you are interested in sponsoring the show or are looking for award-winning content, including strategy and coaching, please DM us or email reinvent@me.com. That's reinvent@me.com. Storm.